Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
My next guest is Nikki Coughlan, the producer of RT Junior Radio and podcasts, and also the father of two girls, has to be mentioned. And he joins us now to talk about the music that we listen to with our kids and how much it matters. This terrifies me because I just explained to you off air, my husband's music collection is all 90s boy bands, Nikki, and 80s music. What am I doing to my children?
So you have nothing to worry about with your kids. In actual fact, it's your husband you have to worry about now in relation to the music choices. I think people worry when it comes to their algorithm, if they're listening to streaming, that whatever their kids are going to listen to is going to interrupt the flow of it. But like, if you don't want, like, you need to train your children better and train your husband and keep him away from the algorithm, and then you'll be totally fine in relation to it. Like, I mean, I think oftentimes with music, with kids, with adults, we listen to it passively. We have 2FM on in the background, yeah, or we listen to Spotify, or we do whatever we do. We're doing something else. Whereas with kids, there's a huge amount of studies done on the influence that classical music has on kids' brains, right? But they never stop listening, and they have more headspace to actually pay attention to the music than we do. And so as a result, it actually resonates an awful lot more with them. And so the music that we play, I think, I'm not, you're far younger than me, but there's this phenomenon called the Graceland generation. I don't know whether you are a person who in the car, your parents listen to Paul Simon's Graceland over and over again on repeat. So we're used to listening to huge amounts of music that our parents like to listen to. And that does go in. You mentioned my daughter, when she was three, was doing a music class as part of creche, essentially. And she said, I have to make a CD for my, this is really old school, how much of a Luddite am I? I want to make a CD for my music teacher. And I was like, okay, well, what do you want to put on it? And she's like, okay. And I brought it in today, just to say, like, first song is Harvest Moon by Neil Young. The second song is Jolene by Dolly Parton. And then she goes into Cat Power and along the lines of like Beatles, Beck, like Buzzy Lee, all around the place when
it's
it comes to it.
Such a responsibility.
This is exactly it. Like, I think that...
Oh, now I'm so stressed. Oh, God. Okay.
I'm not putting any pressure on it. That said, right, with all of that, there's nothing wrong with them really enjoying 90s boy bands. You know, that's okay. I think that the fact of the matter is that the way we listen to music has changed so much over the course of the past while. Like, you and I might have in the past, if we really liked the thing, gone and got the cassette single. I remember the first cassette single I probably got was something mortifying. I think it might have been Vanilla Ice, quite possibly. I've been DJing for 30 years, but I think the first thing I ever bought was a cassette single of, you know, Ice Ice Baby. I'm not proud of that, but I'm also aware of the fact that I felt something passionate about that music.
Yeah.
The first time I had someone buy me a record when I was much younger was my aunt, and I loved Adam and the Ants. Like, there was this song called Prince Charming where he was walking through this in this amazing kind of crossover makeup of, like, he was half a highwayman, and he was half a Native American, and I loved it. My aunts would dress me up, and I had this record so proudly. I think I like the image of it more than anything else. But oftentimes, kids tend to respond to stuff that just makes them feel happy.
Yeah.
Like, George Ezra has a lot to answer for. Like,
yeah, what is with George Ezra? Why is he so popular with the kids? What's the magic ingredient there?
I think he just has a real sense for melody and a real sense for a hook. Kids really enjoy something that sort of reminds them. I mean, there's a reason Happy Birthday is successful. It's a melody that's easy to remember and you can grab hold of on a regular basis. We do a thing called DJ for a Day where we give kids the reins for basically a half an hour every single Saturday. One kid can come on and they decide on the songs they want to do. Green Green Grass of Home has been played again and again and again. And then you've got Ed Sheeran. Obviously, they pop up and it's quite obvious that it's music that they're listening to on the radio. But at the same time, you get these really kind of odd outliers. Like, there's a kid called Logan Kelly. We did a live event at Bloom where we got a load of children to choose the music to play to a large crowd of people. And this kid, Logan Kelly, he's 12. And yet you ask him what his favorite band is, and he chooses like a really quite obscure indie band from Ireland called Pugwash or something else like that. My own daughter picking Beck, she wouldn't know Beck except for the fact that I listened to it in the car with her.
We have a little clip, and these are kids talking music at the Bloom Festival.
Yep.
Right, let's have a listen.
At number one, I'd pick Arnold Lane by Pink Floyd. At number two, I'd pick the Duckworth Lewis Method with Meeting Mr. May and Dad.
My first favourite song is Cha-Cha-Cha from the Eurovision.
Irish Rover by Nathan Carter, A Thousand Years by Christina Perry, and I'm Good Blue.
Oh, lads, we need to be more careful. We need to be more careful with our kids. What happens when tastes start to diverge, though, for good and the bad?
I think it's to be embraced. I think there is nothing worse than the kind of the cool dad who tells or the cool mom who decides that they're going to play for their kids. Well, this is what music used to be like. This is when we made real music. I am juking the stats. I know that every single birthday for my kids or Christmas, I will make them a new playlist or actually a physical CD that they can enjoy and listen to. So they'll listen to it over and over again. But I've found that since they interact with maybe Spotify sometimes, what they'll do is they'll find Sigrid, for example. I put one song by Sigrid onto one of the CDs and they absolutely adore it. Then they're super fans. They know absolutely everything. We've all had our punk moments. I mean, was there music that you listened to when you were younger that your parents really wished you didn't listen to in the car, Jen?
Heavy metal.
There you go.
Yeah, I have a whole rock playlist for the kids as well because I want them to, because they don't make music like they used to.
Oh no, you've fallen into the trap. Oh, I'm mortified.
I know. They have quite an eclectic taste, I find. You know what I mean? I try not to put them in a box. They like Florence, she loves a bit of Taylor Swift. She loves a bit of Ed Sheeran, but she also likes Queen and she also likes Guns N' Roses and she likes a bit of this and a bit of that, which is fine. But I do feel now after speaking to you, I have more of a responsibility to, because unless you put it on for them, like where, you know, my kids aren't in front of a screen all the time. They're too young, but like, we have a little bit of a responsibility. I like your idea of the playlist for birthdays. I don't know anybody else who does that, making them, except for maybe certain members of the team for their girlfriends, but like making them a playlist for a birthday is a really good idea to introduce them to new things or to remind them what they, liked on the radio or whatever.
But I think it's about having a balance. You can play the songs that they absolutely love. If they love the music for Moana, for example, it's grand to put Dwayne Rock saying you're welcome on it. But there's nothing stopping you from putting like a Feist song, a Leslie Feist song or something behind it, like 1, 2, 3, 4. She was famously on Sesame Street because it was such a hit. It is really simple. They like the George Ezra thing. They hook onto a melody, they hook onto a feeling, and they really do have emotional response to music. Also, I think the kids love stories. You know from your own children that they really enjoy reading stories. The older they get, the more they read to themselves. Mm-hmm. With storybooks, they'll want you to read that storybook over and over again. The bands my kids like the most is Vampire Weekend. I like Vampire Weekend. We've listened to them a lot, but it's because of the fact that their lyrics are stories and kids hook onto those stories. And unlike a picture book, the older they get, they're more likely to listen to a song again and again and again. And so it adds more resonance to them and it's something they go back to and it reminds them of a comfortable feeling. I mean, people say that smell is the thing that reminds them most of anything, but I know that my kids like to go back to a specific point in time with the music they listen to as well.
We have another clip here.
So this is, just to set it up a little bit, you ask the questions, what happens when you leave kids in control and tastes start to diverge a little bit? Well, there's a place called the O'Keefe Music Foundation, which is a music class for kids over in the States. And they ask the kids, well, what song do you want to cover? And you'd think that they were going to cover something like Let It Go or something like that. But no, they chose something else. They chose, I don't know what you want to play it.
They chose this. That would drive me mad in the car.
I'm not saying you put on a playlist. I'm just saying when you let kids control the music that they want to make as well as the music they want to listen, it's quite clear that they've picked up by osmosis the music that they've listened to from their parents. Mm. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know, did you have music that your parents really enjoyed listening to that you listened to with them?
A lot of traditional Irish music in my house was really the vibe. I do notice with my kids, I have to... not censor it, but I have to be careful because they love picking out a swear word.
Oh man, do they? Like, I'm this exact same.
They
like
love
that.
It, and you're trying to hide it, but and you can't.
Coming back to that DJ for a Day thing, like, we've had kids who do choose the big pop songs, but then, like, this year, something that's been really, really popular would be like Wet Leg. Wet Leg's music, if you think about it, is quite controversial. Some of their lyrics are quite risque, and there are bad words here and there. But I think if you give them a context for it, this is part of the storytelling, and you remind them that the words that they hear in that are not ones that they're going to be able to use in the classroom or around the house, I think they understand that it's a thing not to use that thing. Also, they self-censor. I found with my 12-year-old Sive, there's a song by Mae Stevens called We Ever Broke Up. You played it earlier on, in fact, right?
Yes, I did.
Great song, right? But the unclean version of it uses a couple of swear words. We sing in the car a lot. We sing together almost all the time. Sive's sitting next to me. That song comes on. She'll start singing along with it. As soon as the bad word comes along, her voice, she mutes herself, and then she comes back in the next line full voiced again like that.
Olivia Rodrigo, she's a devil for it as well. She's a devil for the swear words.
I think there's nothing wrong with swearing. I mean, it's all a form of communication. And once you explain to your kids, now, in terms of swearing, on RT Junior Radio, I'm never going to put a song with adult themes on it. I'm never going to put a song that has swear words in it. It is a bit of a minefield. Like, it's unlikely that I'm going to be playing Megan Thee Stallion on the radio anytime soon for kids. But at the same time, like, I was speaking to someone upstairs the other day about how much they really enjoyed the new song that samples Dionne Warwick by Doja Cat.
Yes.
It's really catchy because sometimes kids don't listen to, and I'm kind of the same. I listen to the whole piece. I listen to the sonics of the song. I like the texture of it. I like the production of it. I like what it makes me feel. And I'm not necessarily listening to the lyrics all the time. My then 3-year-old, she's 8 now, was in the back of the car when she was, she wasn't even 3, she was 2. And she said, play Dinga Dinga. And I'm like, what's Dinga Dinga? I had no idea what Dinga Dinga was. Just not a clue what it was. And yet she kept on doing it almost to the point of having a tantrum until my then 5-year-old or 6-year-old said, oh, I think she means this. And it was a song that started with by Kelly Stoltz called Prank Calls. It started with a ding, ding, ding,
the
ding,
ding, song. Ding. And Nikki, so we all know the Dinga Dinga song.
Sorry, Jen. Of course, you know the Dinga Dinga song. Your husband probably puts it on the playlist quite often.
Dinga Dinga song. Loves it. Loves it. But look, it's really interesting stuff. But as soon as I saw that we were going to be talking about this, it made me think, oh God, I need to be more aware of what we're so aware of what we're letting them watch on the telly or screen time or what books they're reading. We need to be a little bit maybe conscious of what they're listening to in a good way. Like giving them the scope to figure it out for themselves, I suppose.
I think so. I mean, I think what I would say is cast the net wide. Like in terms of the way streaming works these days, and I know it's different from 2FM where it's carefully curated. Mm. You could listen to one song and you don't know what's necessarily going to come up next. Oftentimes the algorithm will put something that that's similar to the one before, but sometimes it totally interrupts it, and like your heavy metal could come on directly after your 90s boy band, and that's not a bad thing.
No.
The genre really is helpful to us when you go into a record shop and you're sort of flicking through and going, I know that's pop and rock, I know that this is soul, but for kids they don't see those genres. Those genres are constructs that allow us to sell the records and pitch them and pigeonhole them. Kids don't want to pigeonhole. Kids want to listen to Let It Go followed by a Beck song followed by something by Pugwash.
The Dinga Ding song.
Or Dinga Dinga.
The Dinga Dinga song. Well, listen, really interesting stuff. Nikki, thank you so much for coming into the studio.
I appreciate you having me.
And let's give them the scope. Let's give them the scope and what they need to have eclectic and just crazy taste in music, because that's more fun.
And if any of them ever want to come on RT Junior, just email junior@rt.ie and we'll get them on as little DJs.
Deadly.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.